You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moresureword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moresureword.com. That's www.moresureword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. Passover is about Messiah. Messiah is our Passover. It's His feast. It commemorates His great work of redemption. And of course, He could observe the feast anytime. And as He observed that Last Supper, that last Passover, He said we could have this celebration, this remembrance of what He did in order to redeem us as often as we like. The Passover Seder begins with the lighting of the two candles. Whether it would be in a Jewish home or in a Jewish synagogue or wherever the Passover Seder would be celebrated by the Jews, that's still the first thing which is done. The woman of the household lights the candles and says, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam asher kishanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu l'adlik ner shel yom tov. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us by your commandments and has commanded us to kindle the festival lights. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has kept us in life and has preserved us and enabled us to reach this season once again. At each Sabbath and feast, it is the woman who lights the candles, one for creation and one for redemption. As it is the woman who begins the Seder by lighting the candles and giving light to the Passover table, so it was a woman who gave birth to the light of the world, Isaiah 7:14. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, Emmanuel, God with us. Yeshua said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of light. There are four cups in the Passover Seder. The first cup is the cup of sanctification. The Passover has begun, and during the course of our Seder, we'll drink from our cups and replenish them four times. As everyone raises the first cup, the blessing, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam bo rei pri hagafen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, creator of the fruit of the vine. Yeshua gave thanks and said, Take this, divide it among yourselves, for I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And then everyone would drink from the first cup. And then we have the washing of the hands. The Lord gave instructions to Moses concerning the tabernacle. Thou shalt also make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass, to wash withal. And thou shalt put between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and thou shalt put water therein. For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. When they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water, that they die not. Just as Aaron, the high priest, was to cleanse his hands and feet before approaching the altar of the Lord, so too we recognize our need for spiritual cleansing. Psalm 24, verse 3 and 4 tells us, "Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully." The Last Supper was a Passover Seder. At this last meal before his crucifixion, Yeshua went a step yet further with this traditional washing. John chapter 13 tells us Yeshua took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist, and after that he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that he had wrapped around him. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, "Know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, a servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them." Do you understand what I've done for you? The Seder plate has traditional things on it that have been there for 2,700 years, and those things do not include the egg. Now, some people have an egg on the Seder plate, but this is a recent addition of the rabbis. The story of the Passover is a story of deliverance from bondage, and each element of the Passover meal is part of a picture, a symbolic picture of redemption. The karpis, or parsley, and salt water. The karpis is to remind us of the hyssop brush with which the children of Israel applied the blood of the Passover lamb to the doorposts of their houses. The green karpis represents life and vitality, and the salt water represents the tears which the Israelites shed in Egypt in their slavery. And so too it represents the tears we shed when we remember our slavery to sin. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam borei pri hagafim, borei pri hadamah. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, creator of the fruits of the earth. We dip the karpis in salt water twice to remind us that life is oftentimes immersed in tears. Let us eat the karpis, and everybody dips a piece of the parsley twice into the salt water and eats it. Maror is a word for bitter herbs, horseradish. And that horseradish reminds us that life is sometimes very bitter, as it was for the sons of Israel in the land of Egypt. As we partake of the freshly ground horseradish, we're reminded afresh of how bitter life is without redemption. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam, asher kitshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu akalat meror. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us concerning the eating of the bitter herbs. Let us eat the bitter herbs. Haroset, which is a mixture of nuts and apple and wine and honey. The haroset is sweet to the taste, and it's a symbol of the mortar which the Israelites used to make bricks for Pharaoh. God himself is a master builder. He's building a holy habitation in which to dwell, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. Ephesians chapter 2, 20 and 21. Even the most bitter of circumstances is sweetened by the hope that we have in God. And to demonstrate this, we place a small amount of the maror on a piece of the matzah and add to it the sweet Horosik. And eating both together, we initially taste the bitterness of the maror, the horseradish. But that bitterness is quickly overcome by the sweet and soothing flavor of the Horosik. And so, too, we find the bitterness of life in the grace and knowledge. And we face it, and we can overcome it in the grace and knowledge of Messiah. And whatever our adversity may be, in the knowledge of Messiah, we find it sweetened. We don't have a roasted egg. It's truly not an orthodox thing to have the roasted egg. Now, many Jews will have a roasted egg on their Seder plate, but it's a modern tradition that we do not observe. It certainly was not part of the Last Supper that Yeshua celebrated with the apostles. It's claimed that the roasted egg is regarded by the Jewish people as a symbol of mourning and a reminder of the destruction of the Second Temple. But the main thing on the Seder plate is the Zeroah, which is the shank bone of a lamb. And it is truly the centerpiece that leads us to consider the Passover lamb. Exodus 12:27, that ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshipped. John the Baptizer, as he saw Yeshua approaching, said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Isaiah 53. The rabbis have given the shank bone of the Seder plate a special name. It's called the Zeroah Adonai, the arm of the Lord. And this very same passage in Isaiah begins with the words, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Zeroah Adonai. And the matzah is so important as we celebrate the Passover Seder. Throughout the Bible, leaven is frequently shown as a symbol for sin. In ancient times, a small piece of raw dough from the previous loaf was used to ferment an entire portion of fresh dough, and thus was the leavening of each batch of dough related to the original loaf, and it was the leaven that caused the dough to rise. The leaven in bread causes the dough to rise, so the sin in our life causes us to rise in our own estimation, to become puffed up. But on this night, and for the 7 days to follow, we eat nothing that contains any leaven. And so we demonstrate our desire to be cleansed of our sin and to live lives devoted entirely to the Lord. Paul says, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that you may be a new lump. As you are unleavened, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. God identified himself to this planet Earth as the God of Israel, the God who led the children of Israel out of their bondage of slavery in Egypt. Therefore let us keep the feast not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. One of the most intriguing items on the Passover table are the three matzahs placed together on one plate. And each has a special compartment of fine linen. And these three matzahs combined together are referred to as a unity, ekad, by the ancient rabbis. The unity of the three matzahs is a mystery. Now, of course, we know what it means. But to the rabbis, they've come up with all kinds of various things of why there's always been these three matzahs placed together the way they have. One theory the rabbis have is that it represents the unity of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And another is that it reflects on the relationship of the divisions within Israel, of the priests, the Levites, and the congregation of Israel. But we who know Messiah Yeshua immediately recognize in those three matzahs the unique echad nature, the triunity of God Himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The middle matzah has a special name. It's called the lechem oni, the bread of affliction. The lechem oni leaves its place of honor among the other matzahs in the unity. And when the lechem oni is held up, this is the traditional blessing. This is the bread of affliction, which our forefathers ate in the land of Egypt. Let all who are hungry come and eat. Let all who are needy come and celebrate the Passover with us. Now we are here. Next year, may we all celebrate in the land of promise. Even now, many are slaves to sin. Next year, may we all be free. And as the leader holds up the bread of affliction, we should remember that he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opens not his mouth. The lechem oni, the bread of affliction, is broken in half. And one half of that centerpiece of matzah is the afikomen. That centerpiece is called the afikomen. It's an interesting word. In Hebrew, it means it is finished, afikomen. That's what it means in Hebrew, it is finished. And in Greek, it means I have come in my season full of glory. Same word. And this special piece of matzah is placed in a linen cloth and wrapped in a manner that one would wrap a body for burial. And while the leader does this, he recites Yeshua's words concerning himself, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. He said this while he was teaching in the synagogue of Capernaum. The specially wrapped afikomen now is hidden away like in a tomb. The leader will hide the afikomen out of sight somewhere in the room, and the matzah is unleavened, and it's striped, and it's pierced. It's always been that way. Striped, pierced, unleavened. Even as the sinless, unleavened Messiah receives stripes, which we ourselves deserved. The flogging which Yeshua received at the hands of the Roman was for our healing. The piercing of Messiah's hands and feet at the cross and the spear thrust into his side were for our redemption. For he hath made him to be the sin offering for us who knew no sin. He knew no sin. Messiah never sinned. And he was made to be the sin offering for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. The remaining half of the lechem oni is held up, and then it's broken, and that blessing is the same. And it said, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam HaMotzei Lechem Min HaAretz. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. Yeshua is the bread of life. Every time the Jew says this blessing, which they say at every meal, they testify to the resurrection. And we know that. And then there's four questions. The Passover is still an important celebration for God's children. And through the celebration of the Passover, we gain wisdom and insight into the redemptive nature of God. And so at this time, the children of God will learn the meaning of Passover by asking the traditional four questions. Why is this night different from all other nights? On all other nights, we eat either leavened or unleavened bread, but on this night, we do eat only unleavened bread. We eat unleavened bread to remember that the children of Israel, in their haste to leave Egypt, had to take their bread with them before it had time to rise. On all other nights, we eat herbs of every kind, but on this night, why do we eat only bitter herbs? We eat the bitter herbs to remember how bitter it is to be enslaved. On all other nights, we do not dip even once. And on this night, why do we dip twice? By dipping, we remember life in bondage is bitter, but that even the harshest bondage is sweetened by God's promise of redemption. On all other nights, we eat either sitting or reclining. On this night, why do we all recline? Once we were slaves. But the Lord, in his goodness and mercy, redeemed us with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. We recline to recognize him for the rest that he has given to us. It is the Lord who brings us each out of Egypt. It is he alone who redeems us. Man cannot save himself. And therefore, in gratitude and recognition, let us recount the story of Passover. The story begins a long time before Moses with Joseph, who was the favorite son of the patriarch Jacob. Joseph was sent by his father unto his brothers, and because they were jealous of the preeminence which God himself had promised Joseph, he was sold for a token price by his brethren and handed over to the power of the Gentiles. As a slave in Egypt, Joseph was subject to temptation and overcame. He was falsely accused and suffered for sin that was not his own. And after a season of suffering, Joseph was exalted to preeminence, just as God had foretold. At the age of 30, he began to exercise his authority in ministering life to the needy. A great famine came upon the whole earth, and Joseph's brothers came to Egypt to buy food. Joseph supplied their needs, but was unrecognized by his own brethren. At the right time, he revealed himself. The eyes of his brothers were opened, and they clung to him and wept. The children of Israel came to Egypt to escape the famine and settled in Goshen, where they prospered. And as generations passed, they became a great and numerous people. Then arose a new Pharaoh who knew not Joseph. He beheld the might of Israel, and he feared that in time of war the sons of Jacob might join themselves with Egypt's foes. So he subdued the Israelites and afflicted them with cruel labor. Taskmasters were placed over the Israelites to compel them to make bricks and to build Pharaoh's great storage cities of Ramses and Pithom. But despite their hardships, they continued to thrive just as God had promised. And this caused Pharaoh even greater alarm, and he ordered the slaughter of the children, the infant sons. By his command, every male child born to the Hebrews was to be cast into the Nile River and drowned. The afflictions of the Israelite people were cruel and many. In anguish, they cried out to the God of their fathers, and God heard their cry. God remembered his covenant. And God raised up a deliverer, a redeemer of sorts, a man, Moses. And he sent Moses to Pharaoh's court to declare the commandments of the Lord. Let my people go. But Pharaoh would not listen to the Lord of hosts. And so Moses pronounced God's judgments on Pharaoh's house, and on Pharaoh, and on his land. Plagues were poured out on the Egyptians upon their crops and upon their flocks. But Pharaoh's heart was hardened. He would not yield to the will of God. He would not let the house of Jacob depart. Then the 10th plague fell upon the land, the death of Egypt's firstborn. And all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even to the firstborn of the maidservants that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beasts. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such that there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against man or beast, that you may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. Thus did the Lord execute judgment against all the gods of Egypt. But to protect the children of Israel, God commanded the head of each Hebrew household to sacrifice a spotless lamb and apply its blood to the doorway of his home, first to the top of the doorway, the lintel, and then to the two side posts. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you a memorial. You shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. That's a command of God to his people, an ordinance of God to his people forever. Passover commemorates the night when death passed over the houses of the children of Israel because of the blood of the Lamb, the Passover Lamb. It's a powerful picture of redemption through Yeshua, the Passover Lamb of God, just as Abraham prophesied. And so, as in faith the Israelites applied the blood of the Lamb to the doorposts of their homes, so must we in faith apply the blood of Yeshua to the doorposts of our hearts. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. The second cup is known as the cup of thanksgiving and the cup of plagues, because in this part of the Seder, we recall each of the plagues that God brought upon the Egyptians, but from which the Israelites were protected and spared. God's word teaches compassion towards one's enemies. So as each plague is mentioned, we dip our little finger into the cup and spill that drop of wine onto our plate. And thus the joy of our deliverance is tempered by the sorrow which came to others. And let us now diminish our cups as we recount each of the 10 plagues. Dam, which is blood. Sapardila, which is frogs. Kinim, which is vermin. Erov, which are flies. Eber, which is pestilence. Shechem, which is boils. Bered, which is hail. Arbet, which is locust. Hoshech, which is darkness. And Mekat Barukot, death of the firstborn. The second cup is the cup of thanksgiving. And each one of us is exhorted to consider himself as having personally come forth out of Egypt. The scriptures declare, "And thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, This is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt." He who provided redemption from bondage in Egypt has provided redemption and atonement for our sins in the once-for-all sacrifice of Yeshua at the cross. For those of us who are in Messiah, truly we say to our children, "I celebrate this feast because of that which the Lord did for me." And therefore, it is our grateful duty to thank and to praise and to laud and to glorify and to extol and to adore him who did all these wonders for our fathers and for us. He brought us forth from slavery to freedom, from anguish to gladness, from mourning to festivity, from darkness to great light, and from bondage to redemption. And let us therefore sing before him a new song, hallelujah. Dayenu, day, dayenu, day, dayenu, day, dayenu, dayenu, dayenu. That means it would have been enough. God did so much. Now let us thank the Lord and drink from the second cup. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam borei pri hagafen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, creator of the fruit of the vine. And at this time, the Seder is stopped to have a normal meal. Any sort of meal is acceptable. Traditionally, lamb would be served at this meal. But any type of meal is okay. And then after the Seder meal, the children would hunt for the afikoman that has been hidden. It's like hide and seek And then the child that finds the Afikoman gets it ransomed back by some sort of a prize. The Afikoman has been ransomed back, and we partake of it once more. Because the Passover sacrifice could be offered only in Jerusalem, something of the mystique of the Passover lamb became attached to the Afikoman. Among the Sephardic Jews, when the Afikoman is eaten, they say the words, in memory of the Passover lamb. Isn't that something? In memory of the Passover lamb. And the sages tell us that the Afikoman should be the last morsel of food eaten at the Seder, and that its taste should linger in our mouths. It was during this place in the Seder that Yeshua took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. And then the Afikoman is broken and it's distributed to everyone at the Seder table. With thankfulness, let us all partake of the Afikoman in memory of the Passover lamb. And then the third cup, which is the cup of redemption. You ask a Jew what the third cup is, he'll tell you it's the cup of redemption. And it was that cup. It was that very cup of redemption. The cup after supper, of which Yeshua said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. And Rabbi Paul, Rabbi Shaul of Tarsus, tells us in 1 Corinthians 11, 25-26, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Every Passover Seder is a memorial of the atoning death of Messiah, who gave himself for the Jewish people and for every person. Our hearts yearn within us to experience God's rich redemption and to receive from him the salvation which we could not achieve by ourselves. The blessing is always the same. The third cup, Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam, Borei Pri HaGafen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, creator of the fruit of the vine. He's the vine. We're just the branches. And there's no way, unless we're firmly and stay firmly attached to the vine, that we'll bring forth any fruit. Then there is also the cup of Elijah. It's an extra cup. The prophet Malachi tells us that the coming of the Messiah will be preceded by Elijah the prophet. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Malachi chapter 4, verse 5. And it has been the hope of every Passover that the prophet will accept the invitation and enter the home and announce the coming of the Messiah. And each year a child will go to the door and open wide in hopeful expectation. Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, was a priest at Cohen. He was serving in the temple at the altar of incense when the angel of the Lord appeared before him and foretold the birth of the son to Zacharias and Elizabeth. And Zacharias prophesied concerning him. He said, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That son was John the Baptist, John the Immerser, of whom Yeshua, the Messiah, said, for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elijah, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now the fourth cup is the cup of completion. The Hebrew scriptures tell us in Jeremiah 31, 32 through 34, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they did break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. And the blessing is always the same. As they raise the fourth cup, I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam. Borei Pri HaGafen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, creator of the fruit of the vine. The Passover Seder is done. Its customs and laws are fulfilled. Grant grace that we, each one, may do as thou hast willed, O pure one, enthroned above. Raise up the low and make free. Replant on Zion in love thy vine branch nigh to thee. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. Lashana Hababa be Yerushalayim, next year in Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. And let us hope that we can all be in that big church of the firstborn on Mount Zion that the Lord is soon going to set up in Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moreshoreword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moreshoreword.com. That's www.moreshoreword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.